After the GPU fee cut, recalculate EKS auto mode. Don't assume it. AWS cut, EKS auto mode management fees for GPU and Trainium instances by up to 60% in July 2026. The decision now turns on utilization, interruption tolerance, platform labor, and the workload settings that can quietly block consolidation. On July 1st, AWS changed a line item that can alter the operating model for Kubernetes-based AI workloads. EKS auto mode management fees fell 35% for G-Series instances and 60% for P-Series and AWS Trainium instances. The reductions apply automatically in regions where auto mode is available. That does not mean auto mode is now the cheapest way to run every accelerator. It means an old decision model is stale. Auto mode charges a management fee on top of the EC2 instance, EKS control plane, storage, network, and observability costs. In exchange, AWS manages node provisioning, scaling, operating system patching, core networking and storage components, health repair, and accelerator-specific machinery. For GPU workloads, it can parallelize large image pools and replace nodes after hardware failures. The buyer is not choosing between a fee and no fee. The buyer is choosing whether to buy those operating capabilities as metered service or supply them through platform labor, idle capacity, and self-managed tooling. The comparison is especially difficult for AI because the largest cost, the accelerator, can be both expensive and poorly utilized. A modest improvement in productive GPU time may dominate the entire management premium. A configuration that blocks consolidation may erase it just as quickly. Start with the bill. AWS actually sends an auto mode workload, still pays standard EC2 charges for the instances it launches. It also pays the EKS cluster fee, 0.10 per cluster hour under standard Kubernetes support, and the auto mode fee that varies by instance type and region. Storage, load balancers, public IPv4 addresses, cross-availability zone traffic, data transfer, container registry, logging, and monitoring remain separate. The management fee is independent of EC2 purchasing option. Savings plans, reserved instances, on-demand, and spot can reduce the underlying compute price according to their own rules. They do not discount away the auto mode line. Finance should therefore show at least 2 rows per managed node population. EC2 economic cost and auto mode fee. Do not lose the control plane lifecycle in the accelerator discussion. An EKS cluster outside standard Kubernetes support costs $0.60 per hour rather than $0.10. At 7:30 hours, that is about $438 a month instead of $73, a $365 monthly penalty per cluster. A managed upgrade process that keeps a large fleet out of extended support can offset a meaningful portion of the service premium before GPU efficiency is considered. Use productive accelerator hours as the denominator. Cost per instance hour hides the central A. I question, how much of the paid accelerator time produced useful work? Define productive accelerator hours as time spent on accepted training steps, successful inference, or completed batch work, excluding queue starvation, image pulls, failed jobs, hardware errors, idle reservations, and unrecoverable retries. Then calculate cost per productive accelerator hour, of course, total platform cost, productive accelerator hours. Total platform cost includes accelerator compute at effective price, auto mode fees or self-management costs, cluster, storage, network, observability, platform labor, failed job cost, and allocated shared services. The denominator should apply the same workload success criteria to both operating modes. This reveals why fee-only analysis fails. If a $1,000 pool runs at 40% productive utilization, each productive unit carries $2.50 of infrastructure cost. Raising utilization to 50% cuts that to $2 before the management fee. Conversely, if restrictive workloads prevent consolidation and utilization falls, a lower July fee cannot rescue the economics. Price the labor being displaced honestly. AutoMode does not eliminate Kubernetes work. Teams still own application architecture, requests and limits, auto-scaling signals, disruption policies, observability, cost allocation, security policy, and incident response. It does displace or reduce work around node images, Carpenter operations, patching, lifecycle, core add-ons, network and storage integration, and hardware repair. Measure current labor using incident and change records rather than estimates made during a vendor evaluation. Count hours spent on node provisioning, AMI maintenance, upgrades, capacity failures, accelerator drivers, spot interruption handling, add-on compatibility, and after-hours response. Multiply by fully loaded labor cost and add the business cost of material outages. Then, estimate the residual in auto mode. A managed service changes failure modes. It does not abolish them. Engineers need new runbooks, Kubernetes native debugging, provider escalation, and governance over the automation. Count that work too. A small team without deep accelerator operations may gain more than a mature platform group whose automation is already sunk and stable. The answer is organizational, not just technical. Understand what AutoMode optimizes. AWS documents three core mechanisms: bin packing pods onto suitable instances, consolidating underused nodes, and replacing capacity as demand changes. AutoMode provisions against pod requests and scheduling constraints, not the finance team's view of actual application utilization. Bad workload specifications become expensive instructions executed efficiently. Overstated CPU, memory, or accelerator requests create capacity that the application does not use. Narrow instance family requirements reduce price and capacity choice. Topology rules can fragment nodes across zones. Daemon sets consume attacks on every node. Long startup and image transfer times can turn scale events into paid waiting. None of those is fixed merely by changing who manages the nodes. Horizontal pod. Autoscaler or event-driven scaling must reflect useful demand. For inference, that may be queue depth, tokens, or request concurrency rather than CPU. For training and batch, queuing and gang scheduling behavior may dominate. Finance should require the workload team to identify the demand signal used to justify capacity. The controls that silently block consolidation. AutoMode's built-in general purpose and system node pools use on-demand capacity and restrict instance families to C, M, and R. They do not set a CPU or memory ceiling. Custom node pools provide greater choice, including spot and accelerators, but the customer owns the guardrails. The do not disrupt annotation can keep a node alive as long as the annotated pod runs, even when it is underutilized. Overly restrictive pod disruption budgets can have a similar economic effect. These are legitimate availability controls. They are also purchasing instructions. Create a monthly report of nodes exempted from consolidation, the workloads responsible, hours retained, and estimated cost. Require an expiry or owner for open-ended disruption blocks. Prefer checkpointing, bounded disruption budgets, and time-limited protection where the workload allows it. Set node pool CPU and memory limits as hard cost ceilings for non-production and burst environments. Constrain accelerated families and maximum instance size explicitly so a capacity shortage cannot broaden into an economically unacceptable fallback. A ceiling can leave pods pending. That is the intended trade-off. The business must decide where availability outranks the budget. Spot economics require failure accounting. AutoMode can use spot through custom node pools, and AWS advertises discounts of up to 90% relative to on-demand. The realized saving depends on interruption tolerance. For inference, maintain an on-demand floor for service-level objectives and use spot for elastic capacity. For training, calculate the expected cost of lost work from interruption interval, checkpoint frequency, checkpoint duration, restart time, and data reload. A 70% rate discount can be poor economics if jobs repeatedly lose hours of uncheckpointed progress. Track completed work cost by capacity type. The CUR line item will show cheap spot hours. The job ledger must show whether those hours produced accepted output. FinOps and ML Engineering need both views. July's GPU reduction changes two thresholds. The fee cut lowers the direct premium, so fewer engineering hours or fewer idle accelerator hours are required for auto mode to break even. It also makes a managed pilot less expensive, reducing the cost of learning whether consolidation and repair benefits materialize in the company's own workload. For each instance family, calculate the monthly auto mode fee after the July reduction from the current regional rate table. Divide that amount by the fully loaded hourly cost of the platform roles actually displaced. The result is the labor break-even hours per month. Separately, divide the fee by the effective accelerator price to find the idle accelerator hours that must be avoided. If the service costs X per month for a pool, and credible evidence shows it removes more than X of labor, failed work, and idle capacity at equal reliability, it clears the economic threshold. Keep the variables visible. Do not bury them in a single vendor TCO percentage. Run a matched pilot. Select two comparable workloads or alternate one workload across controlled windows. Include one steady inference service and one burst or batch job if both matter to the estate. Hold service objectives, model version, data volume, and acceptance criteria constant. Capture total and productive accelerator hours, P50 and P95 queue time, startup time, interruption loss, failed job cost, node utilization, cost by capacity type, management fees, platform hours, incident count, and availability. Measure at least one upgrade or node replacement event. A quiet 2-week benchmark misses the work the service is intended to remove. Run long enough to cross demand cycles and commitment allocation. Compare effective rather than list compute cost. Record migration and learning efforts separately as one-time cost, then show payback period. Use AWS customer reports as hypotheses, not benchmarks. A July case study says Danone offset the auto mode premium through operational and cost efficiencies, while a separate AWS case study reports a 30% infrastructure reduction at KOHO. Those are vendor-published outcomes from specific estates. Your utilization, labor maturity, and workload constraints decide whether they transfer. Put the decision in a scorecard. The finance recommendation should include five sections: current full cost, auto mode full cost, productive unit economics, risk and control differences, and sensitivity. Stress the result for lower spot availability, reduced utilization, slower labor reduction, management fee change, and extended support avoidance. Approve auto mode where the case remains positive under a conservative scenario, and the platform team accepts the loss of node-level control. Retain managed node groups where custom host access, unsupported storage, dedicated hosts, specialized networking, or mature internal automation creates a better risk-adjusted result. A mixed fleet is a legitimate answer. Review the choice quarterly. Accelerator prices, auto mode fees, instance availability, workload shape, and team maturity all change. July 2026 proves the rate card is not static. The architecture decision should not be static either. The fee cut is an invitation to rerun the numbers, not to skip them. EKS auto mode wins when managed operations reduce more labor, failed work, and idle capacity than the premium adds. The unit that reveals that answer is not the node hour. It is the productive accelerator hour delivered at the reliability the business requires. Cost Defender separates AWS service, instance, commitment, and workload costs so finance can compare the auto mode premium with the productive capacity and operating work it actually replaces.